Julie. All right. The outlook for many commodities prices looks strong next year as the global economy rebounds from the pandemic, says a team over at JP Morgan. Natasha Konova is JP Morgan's head of global commodity strategy and joins us now. Natasha, nice to see you this morning. Really enjoyed your note. Let's start on oil prices. What's your outlook for next year? And is any relief in sight for prices at the pump?
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me again. Yes, so you're absolutely correct. As economies are recovering and learning to live with COVID that is endemic rather than the pandemic, yes, all the signs are that that's exactly what is happening. We do believe that this combination of wealth accumulation, pent-up demand, still very accommodative policies from the central banks, still very pro-growth fiscal policies, all of that will combine to result in another record level for the energy sector in 2022 and even in 2023. So we do believe that as the economies reopen, oil will be a major beneficiary. Yes, you know, people have money to spend, they have places to go, so there's a significant amount of pent-up demand. So because of that, definitely for us, energy is one of our favorite sectors, exactly as it was in 2021. We do believe that the prices are right now oversold. We do believe that there is a higher levels to go. So in general, we're targeting prices closer to $85, $88 for 2022, somewhere between $80 to $85 in 2023. So by all means, we do believe that oil will be a major beneficiary.
Why won't rates going higher, Natasha, be more negative for energy prices and more broadly for some of the other commodities you track?
So I think in the case of oil, it's very simple. It's a physical market. And in the case of the physical market, the reality for oil is that 60% of oil is actually moving people and things around. Yeah, so as long as people have money to spend and there's a pent-up demand, everybody wants to travel. Yes, for 2 years, you haven't been traveling, you haven't seen your family, you're ready to go. Yes, and that's exactly what we're seeing, the mobility. Right now, if you look at the COVID numbers, they continue increasing every single day. But at the same time, we do not see any slowdown in mobility. Right before our call, I checked the global number of daily flights and people are not stopping. So, you know, the latest indicators I see is that actually the numbers are up. So, you know, definitely I'm, you know, looking at the statistics about flights being canceled going forward. But again, so far, what we see on the ground is that we do not see any slowdown in the mobility indicators. So that's exactly what oil is about. As long as people continue moving and continue driving and flying, that's what will provide boost to the oil demand. So that's number one. In the case of the metals, the pent-up demand is exactly the same. Yes, it's a buying behavior. It's the infrastructure stimulus in China and in the United States. All of that is massively metals intensive. Greenification of the global economies, that's nothing but copper and nickel and other metals. So that's all very beneficiary for the commodities.
And Natasha, I have one more question on energy and specifically sort of gasoline slash oil prices, which is people, particularly in the United States, pay a lot of attention to what they're paying at the pump. They like to complain about it. And it is onerous for sure for some people. But what's the dividing line where you start to see demand destruction? Your forecast as you're looking at it for 2022, are we anywhere near that kind of a level?
No, not yet. So I think the price level we're looking at, so $85, $88, we're not going to see a demand destruction at this point. No, it's not high enough. At the same time, you know, definitely what we're seeing right now is that there's a very strong correlation between the unemployment rate and demand, more so that it's, you know, then it really, really becomes visible. Yes, because unemployed people don't have money to spend and don't have money to spend on gasoline and don't travel and so on. So far with the unemployment rate at 4.2% and still a lot of fiscal stimulus and accommodative policies, we're not seeing that feeding through.
Natasha, earlier in the show, we highlighted really strong moves this month in food stocks like a Coca-Cola. Really, it surprised me because ag prices of all kinds, I mean, they're still at high levels. What's your outlook for ag prices next year?
So the two favorite sectors on our team is actually energy. That's number one, and the agriculture sector, number two. So a lot of things are happening in the world right now that are very supportive for the agriculture sector in general. Number one is it's definitely the weather. Yes, everything what you're reading, it's, you know, the weather is definitely not supportive for a strong harvest. I would have to say that we still maintain our very, very constructive view on the agriculture. Number two is what is happening on the oil side. That's all feeding through the oil and gas. Yes, it's all feeding into the fertilizer prices. And that exactly what feeds through the yields, yes, in the agriculture sector. So what we observe on the fertilizer side right now, it's close to record high prices. Not only that, it's very limited amount of availability. So because of that, we have to make downward adjustments to our yield in terms of production, yes, of agricultural commodities, and all of that is feeding through to very low level inventories going into 2022, some extent even 2023. So the way to look at that is that the commodities market are intertwined. Yes, the gas prices are very influential for fertilizer prices, which are extremely influential for the agricultural prices. At the same time, the gas prices are influential for the oil prices because of the gas to oil switching and so on. So if you're bullish on one sector, by definition, you have to lift your forecast for the rest of the sectors as well.
Okay, so bullish on ag, but you don't like copper. Why is that?
So it's not that we don't like copper. It's copper is one of the metals where we see supply response. The last time we had prices, you know, above $7,000 copper, that was in 2017 and 2018, we saw a significant amount of investment. There was like $30 billion worth of investments and projects that were approved at that time, yes, 2017, 2018. All those projects will be coming on stream now. Actually, they were coming this year. In 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. So it's almost 2 million tons in a 20 million ton market that there will be a supply response. Demand is very good. By all means, we see a very significant demand coming through, but at the same time, there is a supply response coming through the market as well. So because of that, in general, our view on copper is we're neutral. The market that we don't like, it's gold. So we held, actually the first time we turned bullish on gold was November 2017 when we advise our clients to buy. We closed this recommendation in July 2020. Since then, we are holding a bearish recommendation on both gold and silver. And the main reason for that is there is a very strong correlation between gold prices and real yields. Yes, and you're absolutely correct, Brian. You covered it in the beginning that the Fed, yes, they're expecting three hikes in 2022 that will result in higher real yields, which by definition will lead to a lower gold price. So we're looking at gold prices to average about $1,550 by the end of next year.
You always learn so much talking to you. Natasha Kaneva, JP Morgan's head of global commodity strategy. Have a great rest of the holiday season. We'll catch up with you soon.